continue. Praise the Lord on what we're looking at in Ephesians. God is faithful, and I trust this evening although we're looking at familiar scriptures and principles, I trust this evening God will bless healing, deliverance, salvation, praise God, revelation. Lord is moving us further and further, praise God, into the Holy of Holies, into His perfect will. And this is a ministry through the word, healing, deliverance. We believe in a full redemption. Amen. Praise God in Christ. Full redemption. We are indescribably rich, as someone has said in looking at this. Brother Steve Hill, years ago, did a teaching in Ephesians. He called it indescribably rich. And that's what we are. There's no way, there's no way to describe, no way to come to an end of the riches that we have in Christ. So I want to start Ephesians chapter 3. We're looking, if you remember, starting with verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Praise God. It says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." So the intent now, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by or through the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, or in the heavenlies, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart or faint at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now praise God, we ended last time looking at how Paul said how could Paul say that he was less than the least of all saints, and it's the meek that will inherit the earth. And I want to continue with this, resume there, and then move on, praise God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. And one other scripture in this regard, in Titus. Praise the Lord. Titus chapter 3. Just to get the context, we'll start with verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. Titus chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that having been justified by his grace, not by our works but by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Praise God. Praise the living God. Now, we do stress, we do emphasise in this walk. We looked at these scriptures for a reason, taking the main ideas from what we're looking at in Ephesians 3. We do stress that in Christ we are new creations. We don't call ourselves sinners saved by grace, but we are new creations in Christ. Our mind is being renewed, our spirit. We are now seated by faith in heavenly places in Christ. The Holy Spirit has got hold of our lives, set us apart. We are sanctified. We're not in a process of being sanctified, but we are. We have been set apart. And we are in Christ. And the mind is being renewed. God has presented the cross to us. We're separated from our past. And God is working by His Spirit. But if we are truly to know, if we are to truly know God's grace in our life, if we're truly to appreciate who we are in Christ, then we need to remember where we came from. We need to have that humility about us to remember just what we're like, just what we would be like, apart from Christ. Then we get that imbalance. We get a balance of that. We have the whole thing balanced so that we know that we are relying totally on Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we're not focusing, even, yes, the new man in Christ, who we are in Christ, but we're not in any proud sense, we're not in any inward-looking sense, looking to who I am or who I think I am in Christ. Who we are in Christ, dear friends, is, as I say, it's a revelation, it's by faith, it's knowing, however, where we came from, especially in our dealings with others. Especially in our dealings with others, we remember that we also what we were. We've had weaknesses. We were once foolish. And God is weakening us so that when we deal with others, we deal with them in humility, remembering that we also, praise God, can fall occasionally. You know, that we also are coming through some things. Praise God. So, the unsearchable riches of Christ. So, he's then acknowledging that he is nothing, and that his Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, is everything. And he's now rejoicing in the fact that he has given grace, that him being the least, that this grace was given to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. This was the Pharisee of the Pharisees, if you remember, a Jew profiting in Judaism above all his brethren, and God gets hold of this man and he now sends him to the Gentiles. The revelation now being given through Paul, as well as through Peter and the early church, that now the gospel is going to the Gentiles. And Paul calls this the unsearchable riches. The riches we have been given, they are unsearchable. You can spend time in Scripture, you can read, you can study, and praise God. I recommend that that's what you do. We're going to be looking at that. But dear friends, they are humanly unsearchable. You won't know where to start looking, and when you do find them, if you do find them, there's no way to come to an end of it. And this is where revelation comes in. We're going to be looking later on in verse 9 to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. But it goes together. They're unsearchable riches, and Paul had that anointing, he had that commission to make all see what is the fellowship, the koinonia, the communion, the dispensation, if you like, of the mystery, the sharing of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. And before we get to verse 10, before we get to one of the purposes of that, we're going to look that first of all, they're unsearchable. The riches in Christ are unsearchable. But that God is opening eyes. God, through that anointing, through what he's doing through you in your ministry to people, in your witness, in your teaching, in your situation. God is opening our eyes, and through that anointing, through your knowledge of the word, and as you speak what you know to whoever you would draw alongside, whoever God leads you to, the Holy Spirit will enable them to see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It's been hidden throughout the Old Testament, it was there, but eyes, there's a right time for eyes to be opened. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And it says from the beginning of the ages, we're told in Scripture, that from the time God created Adam, these unsearchable riches, how through sin he lost his dominion, the image of God was still there but marred, and God is now restoring man's dominion in Christ through righteousness. Mm-hmm. But let's look at some of these unsearchable riches. Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Colossians chapter 1, we'll start with verse 24. Some of the unsearchable riches that are in Christ, that God is opening our eyes to through the gospel, through the word, by his Spirit. Colossians chapter 1, start with verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. So he's going through a set of trials on behalf of the body of Christ. There are people in the body, in the assembly, that are walking free because of what he went through at that time. And so it is today. There are people suffering on behalf of brothers and sisters. They are actually, it's as though the people on whose behalf they're suffering, it's as though they're going through the trial. But God knows where they are in the faith. They perhaps couldn't take a severe trial. So for the moment, others are suffering on their behalf that they might go free. But they will be rewarded as though they were faithful through those trials. This is a genuine, you know, fivefold ministry is a type of covering. It's a genuine experience here. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Praise God. He was going through that to fulfill God's will on behalf of the body of Christ. The mystery which has been hidden, here we go again, the mystery that was hidden from ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Praise God. Can you hear it? Can you hear? Can you see what God is saying here? It's not just the apostle, not just the prophet, but to all of us, dear friends, his saints, this mystery is being revealed. It's being unfolded. Now, there is a work that God is doing, and we're going to go deeper in this evening, because revelation is being poured out by his Spirit now, and we need to be careful that we do not miss its significance through a lack of consecration. God is calling a people to mature. There are some in the body of Christ who they're saved, praise God, they're babies in Christ, but they don't want to grow up. They don't want to discipline themselves. They're out with the other kids playing ball, spiritually speaking. They're out, instead of doing their homework, they're out, you'll see them out on the playground. You know, when, or to use another analogy, when a shepherd gets hold of his sheepdog, he chooses one, you know, it's subject to discipline. It won't last very long if he's out playing with the other puppies, just running around. There is a submission, there is a discipline that God now requires of us. Because he is preparing us, he's preparing especially the overcoming body of Christ, but he's preparing us to receive great end time revelation. Jesus. Now he's not going to bypass the scriptures, that's not what I'm saying. We're going to look at some promises in a moment. Let's continue with what it says in Colossians. Because that revelation comes through the scriptures. It harmonizes with the word, but it comes by the Spirit. We're spirit taught, but the spirit teaches us, opens up the deeper meaning that resides in the outward letter. But that requires that consecration. It requires that God works on our heart, he matures us to where we can receive it. Because with every revelation, God requires a deeper consecration. With every new truth that God reveals to us, it requires a greater level of obedience, a greater level of walking and experiencing that truth. Some of the great, if you look back over the history of Israel, for example, some of the greatest miracles, the greatest revelation of God were at a time of great crisis in the history of Israel, beginning with Moses, the Exodus. Look what God did through Moses at the Exodus. Look in the time of the Judges. These were great times of great crisis in the national history of Israel. Look at the gifts, the miracles, the revelation of God at those times. Elijah and Elisha. Great things were happening through those ministries because Israel was facing, again, a time of great crisis. It wasn't simply, you know, people lock into Jezebel. You know, oh, Jezebel was the problem. No, the point is Baalism. Israel was about to change her religion. She was about to forsake Yahweh and turn to Baal. This was eternally serious. This is as bad as it could get. So he raised up Elijah and Elisha. Great revelation of God through those men at a time of crisis. And then through all the prophets. And God was all the time using this, preparing his people for the revelation. The great ultimate revelation and manifestation of God. And who was that? The Lord Jesus Christ, God himself in flesh, to come to his people. And there's the ultimate revelation of God to man. And yet, what did Israel do? What did the Gentiles, the Romans, do to the great ultimate revelation, God in flesh? Well, again, that's part of the plan. This is the mystery. This is the great mystery through the gospel that the Apostle Paul, the early church, was preaching. God himself, the Lamb, went to the cross for our salvation. This is the gospel. And then through the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, now dwells within us as we believe that message. And that message is being restored to us, dear friends, and the experience. God is now restoring these ministries, this great revelation to the body of Christ. Because our faith does not depend on the wisdom of man, the eloquence of man, but on God himself, the power of God. Faith depends on revelation. Yes, we believe the word, but it's the Holy Spirit, it's God himself, it's the Holy Spirit who persuades us. It's a living word. The Holy Spirit has to open our eyes. Let's continue to look in this. Because unless our eyes are open, we don't see it. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles. What is the glory? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Unheard of in the Old Testament. How can the living God dwell within man? How can one so holy dwell within one so unclean? And this is the hope of our glory. We're not being religious. We're not just meeting here, well, here we are again, let's look at the Bible, let's sing a few choruses. We are worshipping the living God. We are being prepared for eternity, as well as a glorious end-time ministry that we will fulfil by his grace. God working in us, so that he can then do a wonderful work through us to the glory of God. And then we will dwell with him throughout eternity. Him we preach. Praise God for theology, yes. Get into your theology. Get the theology into you. Use those encyclopedias. Look up the original languages. Go deeper in the word. But at the end of the day, it's Jesus that we're preaching. And it's the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus to us, both Old and New Testament. The angel of the Lord. Praise God. Malach Yahweh, the messenger, the Lord the messenger. Praise God. You know, the English people, English Bibles speak of the angel of the Lord, but to a Hebrew it's the angel, the Lord. It's God personally coming as a messenger, the messenger. So Old and New Testament, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man complete, perfect, mature in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labour, striving, not in the flesh, but by the Spirit, striving according to his working. See, it's according to his working, which works in me mightily. Yes, that was Paul's testimony, but God is working that in the context in which we're believing. That is also our experience, our testimony. God, we're the Lord's anointed. We also are God's anointed. Praise God, these unsearchable riches in Christ. Now, dear friends, we're talking a lot about the Holy Spirit, about revelation, but my concern, I believe I'm picking this up from the Spirit, I hope this doesn't come over as harsh. I know the Lord's dealing with this in me. He's bringing me right back to the words of Scriptures. But there is an inseparable relationship. Now, some of these things are familiar, they're obvious, but there's an inseparable relationship between the Word in our heart, between Scriptures and the work of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are just waiting, as it were. Now, praise God, the Holy Spirit can give these sort of gifts. So, please, this is not what I'm saying, but I'm speaking in general terms now. So many are waiting on God, waiting for the Holy Spirit to impart revelation to them, but they're neglecting, they're bypassing the revelation that has already been given. So many are waiting for revelation when we already have the revelation. The apostles never neglected the Scriptures, the teaching of Scripture, the Word. They didn't say, right, if you just pray and fast now for 40 days, Jesus will appear to you, or the Holy Spirit will come with a great blinding revelation. They emphasised the Word in man's heart, and that has always been God's emphasis. The Spirit of truth cannot deny the Word of truth. He will always confirm, and he will never bypass the channel of revelation that already exists. The Scriptures contain all the revelation of the kingdom and of the Lord Jesus Christ that we will ever need, but it takes the Holy Spirit, who is also God's ordained channel of revelation, to illumine our minds, to inspire us with that, to open our eyes to what the written revelation is truly saying. Praise God, we need that balance. And I want to show some Scriptures in this, dear friends, because I do get concerned that, you know, some are believing for ministry, but I wonder if they've really understood the vision, the purpose, the message, if they've really understood. Praise God. Allow me to say that, please, as your teacher, because how the Lord presented it to me, if we can receive this in grace. We're praying for a lot of important things. We're praying for unity. Praise God, we've recently had a teaching on it on Sundays through Kim. Praying for healing. We're praying for deliverance. We're praying for all the good and the right things. We're praying for these things. But my question is, my concern is, and please prove me wrong, I would be so happy, please prove me wrong. Are we praying for a harvest without having ploughed and without having sown the seed? Are we actually bypassing the means by which God imparts these things to us? We're told in Psalm 107:20, God sent his word and healed them. All that we require, all that we are believing God for, comes by the word in our heart. If we're not opening our hearts and spending that time and allowing the Holy Spirit to impart his word to our heart, we are bypassing one of the most important means by which God answers prayer. Whatever we're praying for, especially with unity. Because I'm not going to make myself agree with you if I don't. I have to deal with a disagreement. Why am I disagreeing? It's what, if that's my problem. Because I'm not yielding to the Spirit of Truth, who is working to impart truth through the Word. I can't agree with you because everybody seems to have the same opinion. But if we all believe Scripture, if we all yield through the working of the cross, if we yield to the Spirit of Truth, who is teaching us, opening our eyes to the Word, then we have unity. Unity is the result of all believing the same message. It's a unity of purpose, a unity of truth, a unity believing the same revelation. Yes, pray for unity. But are we aware of the means by which God works that unity? Because it requires that all five ministries are functioning. Because we looked at that, didn't we? It requires that the cross is working, because if we're all our own opinion and I, me and self, none of us are going to agree. So it's all got to be working. And it's the Word in our heart, dear friends. That Word, according to Proverbs 4 and verse 20 and following, it's the Word in our hearts that imparts life to our flesh. You know, we can think we're believing because we hear a message. But unless we ourselves have allowed the Spirit to show us from His Word that this is God's will for me, I can't release faith. You know, because otherwise I'm just believing a preacher, I'm believing a pastor. As pure as his integrity is, God will not let my faith rest on his message. It's what God has said to me personally. It's God's word personally revealed to me. And when I know his will for me, I can act on that, and that is the seed sown in my heart. I can only get a harvest from what I know God has said to me personally. It's God's will, revealed, known, and acted on, that the seed is planted in the heart that will eventually bear fruit. And that's whatever we're believing for. Healing, deliverance, unity in the assembly, unity in the body of Christ, ministry, you name it. Any of it. All those great things that we're rightly praying for. But dear friends, do you now understand what I'm trying to say? That unless we know personally, unless we are personally, each one of us, persuaded by the Holy Spirit, because we've looked up these scriptures that have been read out to us, we're doing our homework. You know, dear friends, we have been given, through the prophetic ministry, a thing called a deeper life. That is a revelation, that is an anointed revelation to the sons of God of why we meet, of what God is doing in our life, of the preparation that is now taking place in our hearts and in our lives. Do we know what it said? Do we know what is in that? Are we devouring it? Don't bother reading it. Are we praying over it? Is it an affection of our heart? Does every principle live and work in our heart, along with the scriptures? Do we know two or three scriptures for each principle? We looked a few weeks ago over several weeks. We took, I think, five or six, but there were four specific areas in which, you know, the love of certain things. And now, that was just in one page, maybe one and a half at most pages, out of 120 odd pages in that book. We took 6 weeks going deep with that revelation. That's how we're to approach it, dear friends. It's got to begin to be working in us, living, breathing, fruit being born. Can't rely on the pastor and the teacher. If this is your only exposure to the Word, Tuesdays and Sundays, it's your only exposure to the Word, you take those notes or record them, and then that's it for the rest of the week, filed away and forgotten. Friends, that's not... You see, God is wanting us to prepare. That oil of anointing, that extra vessel, is the oil of preparation. And it's up to you and I. If you're not doing your homework, we're not going to benefit from Tuesdays and Sundays. We're really not. The worst case scenario is that it could end up a curse. Could end up in judgment because we're not walking in the light. James said that those who know to do God but do it not, to them it is sin. Now, you know, let that work the fear of God, not judgment or condemnation. As long as we're walking each day in the light that we've been given, as long as we're doing our homework, you know, and we've said this many, many times, God knows the complexities of our lives. He knows the heart and the mind, the intellectual abilities. He knows the circumstances. Okay, so he will make allowances for a long day's work and tiredness and the things that have to be done. God is gracious, God is practical. But we're talking here about the heart. Do we have a hunger? Is there a sincere hunger within the heart to find out what God is saying to me personally? Where do I fit in to the body of Christ? What is this vision? What is it that God is saying? What is my inheritance? What belongs to me in Christ? Is there not an interest? Is there not a sincere hunger to know what God is saying to you personally? Because either it's been revealed to us, or we're just towing the party line. We're just going along because it sounds good. Well, I'm God's sheep, and it sort of witnesses with me that what these people are saying is true. Or can we say amen to what is being said? Because we know for ourselves, we know from God's hand of chastening on our lives that he loves us. We know from experience. We know from our own meditations. Praise God, I was just reading that just the other day. You know, praise God, we were just discussing that on the way over to the meeting. Praise the Lord, this is wonderful. This is confirmation of what God is saying and doing in my life. But how can we know that unless we spend that time quietly just meditating in what, as the Holy Spirit leads? The apostles never preached, Jesus appeared to me and this is what he said. When I say that, I'm making an absolute statement. There may have been the occasion where, you know, they testified to, I've seen the Lord. And they, you know, they appealed to sense evidence. John did, you know, I've seen, I've beheld the word of life. But they never left it at that. They never left it at that. They always, from that revelation, they always, from that, pointed to Scripture. They never left it divorced. What God has joined together, let no man part asunder. They never left that revelation divorced from Scripture. Let me prove that to you from Scripture. So yes, they did speak. But they never, you know, they did speak about their experience of seeing the Lord, but they never left it just on that revelation. They always pointed that revelation. Now you have that through the word in your heart by the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit. They never just said, oh, you know, Jesus appeared to me, this is what he said. They always said, yeah, we were eyewitnesses. But this is the point of that experience, and you can now have the same walk, you can now have the same faith, you can now have that same anointing through the word in your heart by the Spirit. Because otherwise we can't relate to that, can we? Okay, great, Jesus appears to apostles, but what about me? Where does that leave me? And so the encouragement is, you now have an even greater experience because he now dwells within you and he's teaching and opening your eyes to the word. It's the word in your heart that is going to be the healing and deliverance, not only for yourself, but to those to whom you minister. Praise God. Romans chapter 16, for example. Romans chapter 16. And start with verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. Glory to God, there's authority. Look at the authority there. Look at that. It's his gospel because it was given to him. He experienced it. He lived it. It's that anointing. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, obviously, but that's his ministry.
Unto him, I'm speaking of our loving Heavenly Father, of Almighty God, able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Praise God for theology, but it's the preaching of Jesus Christ. According to what? The revelation of the mystery. Again, we have this phrase, kept secret since the world began. It's now being opened up to us, dear friends. This wonderful revelation, the mystery that has been kept secret. Abel didn't know it. He knew it in part. Isaiah, Moses, Elijah, all of those, they saw it afar off. Do we know how privileged we are? That throughout, it says there, you know, since the world began, it was kept hidden. And we are now having that revelation opened up to us. Do we know how rich we are? Do we truly understand how rich we are in this? But my concern again, dear friends, you begin to understand now why I said what I said earlier. Are we doing that homework? Is there that sincere hunger within us? Is there that desire to personally know what Jesus is saying to me today? Praise God. Praise God. You know, I'm speaking to you like this because one day I'm going to have to stand before the Son of God and give an account, in part, for your spiritual condition. It's my responsibility. It's my responsibility as a teacher to know, to make sure that you are getting the revelation. Oh, help me out, friends, and spend some time in the Word, you know. Praise God. But I trust you're doing that, praise the Lord, for the right reasons. The Word in your heart is your salvation. The Word in your heart is the salvation of your loved ones. It's the salvation, the healing, the deliverance, the prosperity, the full redemption of those to whom you minister. Yes, God's in control. Yes, the work of the Holy Spirit. But he uses vessels, friends. He uses people. So there is that glorious balance. You can read in a book that God will accomplish more through your prayer than he does through your sermon. But hold on a minute. Surely God will accomplish through the word you speak as a result of your prayer. Both are working. He will accomplish through our prayers. Praise God, of course he will. But he also uses us. He's given us a word to speak, a message that will give life, that will set the captives free. Praise God, how are they going to know except they hear? How are they going to have faith? If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, somebody needs to go and tell them. And this is what our preparation is all about. But here it is. But it's now, it's been kept secret since the world began, but it's now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known. Praise God. Yes, Jesus manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, the Holy Spirit is now our experience, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it's by the prophetic scriptures. He's talking there about the Old Testament, friends. He identified Jesus of Nazareth as the Lamb of God, as the Messiah, as God in flesh, as the Son of David, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He identified Jesus of Nazareth as him by the Old Testament scriptures. Can we do that? Can we take that printed word from a page and convince people by the Spirit that Jesus of Nazareth, the historical Jesus of Nazareth, he that was put on a cross, he is the Son of God? Well, there's your assignment. Seriously, friends, that is your assignment for the rest of your life, to seek God. Lord, how do I identify Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, humble carpenter, how do I identify him in Scripture, in the Old Testament, and especially in the New Testament? How do I, by the Spirit, convince the person I'm about to speak to that he is the Messiah? Oh, praise God, that will keep you busy for a nice long time. God is raising up witnesses, the church is to witness. God is going to raise up the evangelist. We're preparing more than evangelism, friends. The end time ministry, an army of end time saints who will experience the Holy of Holies, the greater works, much, much bigger even than evangelism. But dear friends, this is what the Apostle Paul, this is his evangelistic ministry. That's a challenge, if you like. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, what? For obedience for the faith. Why are we birthing through like we're birthing through? So that we can come to the obedience of the faith into God's perfect will. So to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Let's look in Acts chapter 8. Dear friends, it is essential if you are sincere, if you are sincere, and I trust everyone who is listening to this word, listening to, you know, the overcoming message, I mean, who identifies himself with the overall message, you have a ministry, and your ministry is according to the word in your heart, is effective by the Holy Spirit according to the word in your heart. Whatever your place, whatever your ministry, it will express itself by the word in your heart. Praise God. Acts chapter 8, and I want to start with verse 26, because this is all about, see, it's an inseparable relationship between the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives and the word in our heart. I just need that principle to be established. There are other scriptures we won't have time tonight, but I at least want to make a start to finish it all. Acts chapter 8, and we'll start with verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. So there's that direct revelation. You see, revelation, direct revelation, is one of the primary means by which God will prepare this end time body for its ministry. Do not apologize for direct revelation, but it's got to be in its place in relation to Scripture. It's never going to be divorced. It will always, you know, Jesus, we're going to have to wait till next time to look at where the Lord said, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. You know, so it's not just in the sense of teaching, but it will harmonize, it will line up with the written revelation. But if we're neglecting the word, God will not bypass a channel of revelation that he's already provided. How do you know, even if you were to get that revelation, how would you know it's from God? How would you know if you haven't been trained in the word, if the Holy Spirit has, if you haven't spent time in his presence allowing the Spirit to train you to the still small voice, to train you in what is truth? He is the Spirit of truth, and if you speak in tongues this evening, you will have his hunger, his love for the truth and for the word. That's how you know you're born again today. It's because you have a sincere and a deep hunger for more. Glory to the living God. So an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south. It's specific, exact instructions. Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And we're told then this is desert. So he arose and went. Praise God, obedience. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. So this is significant what's about to happen here. How God is going to spread the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. Authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, sitting in his chariot, was reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. Right, so Philip ran to him. So it's the Spirit speaking, it clearly, revelation, leading to history. But this shouldn't be confined to history. We're now getting ready, we're being prepared to enter into this. This is going to be our experience. An angel. And then the Holy Spirit himself. But if we don't know the word, how is he going to use us? Look what happened. Spirit said to Philip, go near, overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him. Wasn't a leisurely walk, he ran. Wasn't going to keep a dignified, you know. No, he ran. And heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Because if he dawdled, he would have missed that, wouldn't he? And he said to the man, do you understand what you are reading? Started a conversation. See how God set it up. The man was reading. You know, oh, I don't know what to say. What shall I say to them? Well, there we go. God set it up. Doesn't he? God set it up. How can I, the man said, how can I unless someone guides me? Oh, the cry. Wasn't there a man in the gospel? Sir, I have no man. But when the angel comes down, I've got no man to take me to the water to heal me. How can I except someone guide me? Dear friends, what a privilege. This is what God is preparing us for. Ultimately, yes, it's God doing the healing, God doing the teaching. But like I've said, what a privilege he's using vessels. Now, in a sense, we're just going to look like passengers or like the audience. The works, the greater works, are what he does through us. We're not going to be doing them, we're just going to be there. But we're going to be there believing. It's those that believe will do that. In a wonderful redemptive chapter in Isaiah, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. Who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Who will declare his generation, friends? Isn't that you and I? So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? I love this. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. How wonderful. He opened his mouth, starting with that starting point, he preached Jesus. Praise God. And then we see the result of that. He believed, verse 36, though baptized, 36 and 37. So fully wholehearted faith, baptized, which he did, verse 38. And glory to God, verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Hallelujah. So that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, he baptized him. So you know that he baptized him. If you put the whole revelation together, he baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. And as a result, you see, look in verse 37, as a result of Philip's ministry, the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. From that simple reading, from the simple ministry of Philip opening his mouth. Praise God. So it's the scriptures, isn't it? Let's look at Peter. Let's look at 2 Peter. Praise God for this great revelation. Praise God for these amazing experiences and these wonderful things. It's right. Amen. But you should never divorce it. Never divorce it from the word in the heart. That is the great revelation. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll start with verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He was, wasn't he? In Matthew 17, you remember the Mount of Transfiguration, and this is the testimony he's giving. For he received from God the Father honour and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. He was there when that was happening. This is my... And he was the one that said, let's make three booths, three shrines. And so he remembers this well, doesn't he? Because God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased to hear him. He was there, wasn't he? And he fell flat on his face. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. It's all about, these things are to confirm the prophetic word, the Old Testament scriptures. Prophecy is being fulfilled by Messiah in his two, both Advents. His first Advent fulfilled the prophecy of the suffering servant. The second Advent, when he comes back, praise God with overcomers, will fulfill the second stream of prophecy of the reigning king. And the Pharisees couldn't put it together. And so this is where the revelation comes, to put the Old Testament prophecies together to make Messiah, to reveal Messiah, both as the suffering servant and as the reigning king, as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The Old Testament saints were saved, friends. They were born again. You get many charismatics today who don't know the word, who are saying Old Testament saints were not saved. It gets so ridiculous because they're even saying they were justified but they weren't saved. They were righteous but they weren't redeemed. How can you... what? Because they don't know the word. This is why we're labouring, dear friends. Joshua, Caleb were of another spirit. Abraham believed God, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Are you telling me Moses is not redeemed? Oh, glory to God. We sort of, it's a bit laughable, but we laugh to keep from crying. That's sad. That is sad. We've got to know what we believe and why. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. The heart is being worked upon by the word in our heart. So that darkness is being removed, that stone is being turned to flesh, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Praise God. The fullness of Christ going to come by the word in your heart, dear friends. Think on that a minute. The very fullness of Christ, yes, by the Spirit, but through the word in your heart. And I'm telling you what importance I place on theology. Some will not enter the Holy of Holies because their theology is not correct. Yes, it is. Because doctrine, theology is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And we're going to look later on in Ephesians when we get there that the bride of Christ will have no spot, no wrinkle, no error, no sin. I'm not talking about stuff, you know, like dotting the I's and crossing the T's. But I'm talking about those essential truths of salvation. The essential truths concerning the vision, eschatology. It's been given to us for a purpose. Dear friends, I'm talking about the truth, the truths on which, you know, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It does matter. Don't let anyone say, oh, well, it's just theology. The church used, they searched the scriptures. Theology was developed right from way back because heresies started attacking the church. So the church, the councils got together, came to the church's position, having searched what? Prayer and fasting for angels? No, I'm sure they prayed and fasted, but they searched the scriptures to find out the truth that God had given, that was established as a rule of faith in the churches. They refuted heresy They could have said, I refute the Gnostic heresy because Jesus appeared to me. But no, they refuted the heresy. Paul and John, Paul wrote Colossians, John wrote his epistles. He wrote, it's the written word, to refute those heresies, those deceptions. Only God's word in our heart will keep us free from error. And only God's word in our heart will lead us by the Spirit to the Holy of Holies. Consider these things, friends. If you think that's a bit extreme, then I invite you, get before God, take it up with the Lord. And if I'm wrong, pray for me, but I don't think I am. Knowing this first. So having spoken about the morning star rising in our hearts, knowing this first. So here's the first thing to know, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Because prophecy never came by the will of man, it's not a work of the flesh, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and we have in our hands written down, recorded, what the Holy Spirit said to these holy men as he moved them, as he bore them along by his grace and his power. We have what the Holy Spirit did through Elijah. We have it written. We have what the Holy Spirit did through Moses. We have it written, what he anointed Isaiah to say. It's not just Scripture. It's not just a religious book. It's a written record of how God revealed himself to man, to Israel, and what he's now saying to the churches. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son. But do we know what that message is? Do we know what he's saying? Do we know what the deeper life even means? What are the five principles of the deeper life? What are these principles? What are we basing our faith on? What is the vision? What is God doing in this end time? Can anyone give me three reasons why we're meeting tonight? What is the nature, the function, the purpose of a New Testament church? Praise God. This is all part of the assignment. Dear friends, please take me up on this. Because God is preparing an end time army, trained in the word, by the Spirit, yes. It's not just the text, but it must come by the Spirit. Spirit taught. But there isn't time to do this justice. But next time, God willing, I want to look at what Jesus said to the disciples on his last night with them. Gave great revelation about the ministry of the Holy Spirit through his word. Our friends, time is short and we need to know what we believe and why. And it's the word in our heart that is preparing us. The Spirit is using the word to prepare us. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit needs the word, and the word needs the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You know, and even in 1 John, we won't look there because we're closing now, but where he says we've handled him, we've the light, that which was from the beginning of the word of life. Now why is he called the word of life? Yes, they appealed to sense evidence for our faith. We saw him, we fellowshipped with him, we were there, we heard him personally, but we now have that written. That is now the revelation. It is the written revelation of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so we now experience that life, that Spirit. The word there, the Logos, the revelation. There is no other revelation. And when we have that working in our heart, then praise God, we can with confidence receive the message of an angel, the message of a prophet, the direct speaking and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because of the word in our heart. Dear friends, we're praying for the right things, but are we praying with that understanding? And I don't mean the intellectual understanding, because none of this is intellectual. Some may be offended at what I'm saying tonight, because you're intellectually trying to evaluate it. You're trying to approach it with your intellect, and you won't. He, the Spirit of Truth, reveals to your spirit these things. So when we delve into the deeper life, which I trust we're going to now, as we meditate on those principles, he will quicken it to our hearts. It's not legalistic, it's not a burden. It's the revelation that God is giving to his sons to prepare the body of Christ. You see, again I go back to the fact that by doing our homework, we will benefit from these meetings. By not doing that homework, much of this will be wasted. It really will. It's just the way it is. The stones in the heart and the things, you know, the thorns and the thistles. This is what this ministry is all about. It's delivering, it's removing blindness, it's removing hardness of heart, removing wrong attitudes about God. We cannot think a right thought about God unless the Holy Spirit puts it there. And that comes through his word. As we meditate in scripture, God confirms it. Oh, praise God. Praise God, he is the living God. His love for us is too great to let us be deceived. How do you know God loves you? How do I know God loves me? We looked at that last time because of the cross, but because he won't let me get away with stuff. He doesn't just let me get on with it. He chastens me. His hand on my life, his chastening hand, to bring about healing and deliverance, holiness. Afterwards it yields. It's not pleasant at first, but it afterwards yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. That healing, that deliverance, that closer walk with him, a deeper understanding. Praise God of God's holy word. Because this is the foundation. Praise God, this is the foundation. Now, if you're doing that, and I'm sure most of you are, praise God, because that's the discipline, you know, under this ministry, isn't it? So I'm not assuming it or not, but I, you know, receive the word of exhortation, friends. A wise man will receive that and go even deeper. But the Lord knows why that came up, so praise the Lord, the Spirit knows all things, doesn't he? But as we receive that, you know, we become established in what God is doing, praise God, and we can then move on to the deeper things, because God is working that within us. He's working that grace, praise God, within us. Praise the Lord. I'm going to leave it there, because there's a lot to praise God, there's a lot to dwell on, a lot to think about, a lot to absorb, praise God. But we'll continue with that, God willing, next week. But dear friends, you know, whatever you want of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, it comes by the word in your heart. There is an inseparable relationship to the thing you're praying for and the word in your heart. So, praying with understanding, as long as we're praying with the understanding that, praise God, it's the word in our heart that's going to produce the harvest. God will give the increase, but only if we've sown that seed. The cross does the ploughing, the word is the seed, then God will give the increase. And if we're praying with that understanding, then yes, praise God, continue to press in, and God will abundantly answer those prayers. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to condone our laziness. Mm-hmm. He's not going to allow us to bypass the revelation that men have given their lives for, including our Lord, praise God, God-man, God in flesh, gave his life. This, owning a Bible, it's a privilege. Luxury as ever, so what is it? Some people don't know. Some people don't have a Bible. They fight over a page, a scrap. Men have given their lives so that we can sit in a nice centrally heated home, in a warm place, a roof over our head, and meditate. Take our time to meditate on these scriptures. I hope we are availing ourselves of the revelation made available to us. Praise God, as we meditate, as we ponder, as we allow the Spirit to speak to us personally. That's what faith is, that personal persuasion of what God is saying. And that's the basis of our faith. And that's how our prayers are going to get answered. We cannot reap a harvest until we first ploughed and then sown. Praise God. And it's God who gives the fruitful seasons. We water it with prayer. And you'll find God faithful. You will find him faithful. Praise God. Praise the living God. God bless you, brethren. Receive that admonition. Receive that, I trust, encouragement. Because what are we about? Are we about the Father's business? Or do we believe things because it's the opinion of a man we trust? No, you've got to know personally in this end time what you believe and why. Because the devil's got somebody out there who can take it out of your head. Oh, believe me, there are people there with far better intellects than you or I, and they can argue. They will very forcefully, very cleverly put their deception. And it's only the truth, it's only that knowledge of the truth that will set us free and keep us free. It's only that love of the truth whereby God will preserve us. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. And what is his voice? Well, yeah, the still small voice, the inner witness. But above all, it's his word. It's what he said. And we're going to look next time, God willing, at more about that. The title of the message, The Unsearchable Riches of Christ, and that's what they are. We begin in his word to unearth those unsearchable riches. So the clue's in the title, friends. They're unsearchable. So it must be the Holy Spirit helping us dig them out. Oh, praise the Lord. God loves you. God bless you, brethren. You know he loves you, don't you? By his work, his hand on your life. He doesn't want you deceived. He will not let you get deceived. If your love for him, if your hunger for more of him is sincere, and I trust it is. God bless you, brethren.
Jesus is the